Galatians chapter number 5, from verse number 13 through to 15. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Shall we pray? Lord, as we behold your word this morning, we thank you for another opportunity to be fashioned more and more into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ by the instrumentality of your word. Lord, I pray, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the heart of my brethren, your people, so that they will receive this word as it's going to be delivered by your spirit. I ask, O God, that you will give us wisdom as we discuss this particular important area of the book of Galatians, that, Lord, you anoint me afresh to be able to declare your word accurately, in power, in simplicity, in the love and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God, so that there is going to be an application of balance to our understanding of the liberty that we've got in Christ Jesus. Thank you, because you're going to do this and much more, because we have prayed in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. This morning, we continue with a series we started a couple of weeks ago, Stay Free. And you will have realized that in the whole chapter, at least up to this point, Paul has gone to great lengths to convince disbelievers, not so much about the fact that, not so much about how to achieve freedom, but how they could maintain the freedom that they've already got. In the course of that, obviously, he had to go into how freedom is attained, but contextually, these people were under the were being convinced that they did not actually have the full freedom until they apply some works, some rituals, some tradition to it. And Paul was trying to correct that impression, that don't go back into slavery to sin. Don't go back to slavery of legalism, but stay free. In fact, that's why it started in verse number 1 of this chapter 5. Stand first, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made you free. Galatians chapter number 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty in which Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in it. In other words, stay free. Don't allow these Judaizers, I've mentioned them a couple of times previously, to draw you back into a concept of bondage, that you have to apply the law, apply the flesh, apply the customs, the traditions, in order for you to be completely free in Christ Jesus. Now, I need to start by saying this. You know, each time we talk about liberty, obviously liberty means freedom. Each time we talk about freedom, what naturally comes to our mind? When you hear the word freedom, what comes to your mind? To a superficial thinker, freedom is often being conceived as the ability to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it, and anytime you want to do it. In other words, it's the ability to do anything, anytime, anywhere, and anyhow, without consequences. That's what a superficial thinker will think about the word freedom. And unfortunately, that's the concept that some of us have about freedom. But on the platform of God's word, this is going to be quite different from what you've always known. If you have always thought that freedom just means doing anything and anywhere, anyhow, and being able to go scot-free with it. Freedom, essentially, is not the right to do as you please without consequences. Rather, it is the opportunity to make choices to create your own circumstances. I will go through that again, because I want to start from that platform, and then I will go into the context of what Paul actually tried to educate this group of believers. Freedom is not the right to do as you please without consequences. Rather, it is the opportunity, and I need you to take note of those words, the word opportunity. It is the opportunity to make choices to create your own circumstances, the opportunity to make choices to create your own circumstances, the opportunity to make choices in order to create your own circumstances. Many nations celebrate Independence Day, you know, and they, by independence, they mean freedom, they mean liberty. Now, from that point onward, the reason why those guys will celebrate is not because whatsoever decision that make from that point moving forward will not have consequences. Of course, it will have consequences. But from that point forward, the reason why they celebrate is because they now have the opportunity to make their own choices, to create their own circumstances and create their own future. All right? So it is not the absence of consequences, it's the presence of the ability to make choices. The opportunity to now make choices is now available to them, and so they are able to determine how they will govern themselves moving forward in the future. Of course, many of those instances where they have actually exercised this freedom, if you ask many of the citizens in certain nations around the world, they actually fared worse than when they were under the colonial rule or under some kind of governance by some external forces. So the exercise of freedom, essentially what we're talking about, often always comes with some responsibilities. Freedom does not mean that you can do anything, anyhow, anywhere, and you go scot-free. No, that's not freedom. As a matter of fact, that's bondage of some sort. But freedom often comes with some responsibility. So as your child grows, parents will understand this, as your child grows, you begin to give him some level of freedom to make certain decisions. But at the same time, there is an attachment of certain responsibilities to that freedom. So there is responsibility attached to that freedom. And some of us as parents, when there is a misuse of our freedom, of the freedom by the youngster, we can actually take away the freedom because we discover that this boy or this girl has not become enough responsible. So Paul, in this particular instance, is going to be highlighting that freedom that they now have in Christ must be used responsibly. The freedom that they now have in Christ must be used responsibly, because certain people are now beginning to say, okay, fine. If you said I'm free from the law, in other words, I'm not justified by the law. Whether I do right or I don't do right, I'm justified. God has accepted me exactly the way I am. So that means if my acceptance by God, if the favor that I have with God has nothing to do with what I do or what I don't do, then I am free to do anything. And Paul is hereby going to be saying, no, that's not exactly the way it is. Whenever you have freedom, there is a responsibility attached to it. Now, anytime you talk about freedom, it's actually a collision of three important things, and I'm going to go through them quite quickly this morning. For freedom to occur, three things has to happen. The reason I'm taking my time to explain freedom first, before I actually deal with the context of this morning's passage, is because I want you to understand this word freedom. Now, whenever we talk about freedom, three things come together. There is a collision of three things. Number one, there is opportunity. We mentioned that earlier. Number two, there is ability. And then number three, there is willingness, or some people will call it desire. There is opportunity, there is ability, and there is the willingness or desire. When these three things come together, they create an environment, a milieu, if you like, of freedom. Now, the best way to explain that is to give you an analogy. Suppose you've always wanted to, you know, ride a bull. You know, bull riding is a rodeo sport. And I know not many of us are quite familiar with that, but some people here still love bull riding. Now, bull riding involves you jumping upon the back of a crazy bull, and the bull is trying to get you off, you are trying to ride it. And then they score you based on how long you are able to stay on the bull, you know. Don't try this alone, okay? All right, so let's suppose you've always wanted to engage in bull riding, and suppose you just got to know after doing some research, that there is actually a radio center an hour away from you. And so this morning you get up, you want to go to the to this bull riding event. It's about an hour drive from you, so it's going to start at 10 o'clock. You figure out that if you leave at 8 o'clock, obviously you'll get there early on time and even be able to take a look around before the show actually begins. So you got up, 8 o'clock, already on the way. Now, what you never prepare for is that there is going to be this traffic jam. An accident occurred, there is this traffic jam, so everywhere is blocked, you're not able to move. You know, although you're set up at 8 o'clock and the show is supposed to be at 10 o'clock, at 9 you were still there, stuck. At 9:30 you were hoping and praying that something would happen, but you're still stuck. 10 o'clock, you're still there. So you're not able to get to the center where rodeo was going to take place. Are you free to go bull riding? No, at least not on this day. Why? Although you are willing, you lack the opportunity. You're willing to go, but you lack the opportunity. The opportunity to get there has been deprived you because the road to that place has been blocked by the reason of the traffic jam. So that means that the freedom is not actually there. Why? Because you lack the opportunity. All right, suppose, let's play this story in another way. Suppose this time the expressway is clear, the road is clear, you were able to make it to the gate on time. You know, there is no traffic jam on the road. You decide to go straight to the ticketing area, and then on getting to the ticketing area, you meet the persons there to ask for a ticket. To your amazement, they tell you, "I'm sorry, sir, ticket is finished." Really? Yes, ticket is finished. Okay, right. I understand that there are three sessions today, morning, afternoon, and evening. Can I book for the afternoon session then? They said, no, sorry. Already booked. Really? Yes, already fully booked. What do you mean? All right. What about the evening session? Can I have that? They said, I'm sorry, sir. We're actually not just booked today. We're booked for the next 1 week. So now, the opportunity, are you free to ride the bull today? No. Why? Of course, you have the opportunity because the road was not blocked. There was the willingness to do it because that's why you left your home. But you lack the ability, the power, which is the ticket. The ticket is not available, so there is no power to actually engage in it. So even though two factors are present, the third one makes the freedom not to be present. Okay? So in this instance, you have the opportunity, the road is clear, you have the willingness, the desire to go, that's why you have left your home. But you lack the ability, which is the power, the ticket. Until you get the ticket, you can't go in, or except if you're going to jump the fence, and that's not right. Okay, let's play it the third time, okay? Now, let's suppose that this morning, you got up, 8 o'clock, no traffic jam. You got to the right place. Ticket is available in abundance. You were able to get the ticket. You got in, and then the instructor tells you, oh, you've come all the way from Perth to enjoy this bull ride. And you say, yeah. So jump on the bull and say, I'm sorry, no. Why? I'm afraid. I'm scared. I don't want to ride the bull anymore. Can I go back home now? Are you free to ride? No. Why? Because the willingness is no longer there. You've got the opportunity. The road was clear. You got here on time. You've got the ticket, the power is there, the ability is there, but you lack the willingness. So because you got too scared of the bull, okay? I'm not sure why you didn't think about that before you leave home anyway. all right. Now, let's play it again. Let's replay this story again. I promise you this will be the last scenario, okay? All right. So this time, no traffic jam. You got there. You got the right, you're able to get the right ticket. You are really willing, excited about it. And the instructor comes around and says, oh, yeah, so you've come from Perth? Yeah, you're ready to ride? Absolutely. Have you been engaged in bull riding before? No, it's my first time. Oh, as soon as the instructor hears that, you think, oh, this guy would better be given, you know, a more a bull with mild temperament because he has never done bull riding before. So he said, okay, excuse me, just a sec. He goes in to go and get you the right kind of bull that he is able to control, you know, because you've never done this before. But you were just too excited, you know, to wait. You just say, oh, there is a bull here. Excuse me, there is a bull. The guy does not hear you because he's going in there to get another bull for you. But, oh, there's a bull here. You just decided to go on the bull, you know. Now, this is a crazy bull, okay? Now, he has a reputation of you know, injuring people. And so you jump on the bull. Just as you're landing on the back of the bull has not even allowed you to settle down, you know, before it flicked you away and you tumble over. You landed on the ground, and you sustain a spinal injury. Okay? Now, are you free to ride? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because the willingness to ride is there, all right? The opportunity to ride has been provided. There was no traffic jam, and the ability has been given. You've got the ticket. You are actually able to do it. You are able to get in. You actually exercised your freedom. It's only, the only problem is that you got paralyzed exercising your freedom. Now, it is this paralysis that comes as a result of the demonstration of your freedom that Paul is going to be warning against, because freedom alone does not guarantee that you will come out of that bull riding alive. That you are free to ride this bull, even though it's very exciting, it's not a guarantee that you will come out walking. Like in this instance, this guy actually got paralyzed and they had to, you know, radio RPH, Royal Perth Hospital, to go and carry him. Now, it's just a scenario. It did not actually happen. But you get what I'm talking about? Now, this one is saying there is an opportunity to be free in Christ Jesus. The road is clear. Jesus is the way. The Bible says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So there is an opportunity in Christ Jesus by the reason of him providing himself as the leeway to you getting into the presence of God and actually having the righteousness that is imputed on you so that you can be free. Now, there is the ability. The ability is the imputed righteousness. That's your ticket. Otherwise, you will not be able to demonstrate this freedom. So the imputed righteousness is there. It's been given over to you. And you're so excited about it, you are willing to engage. Unfortunately, there are millions around the world who are not even willing to engage. They don't want to engage in this freedom from under the bondage of sin, legalism, shame, and guilt. Now, but in your case, it is there. You've got everything together, but this opportunity meets. So in this instance, the opportunity meets the ability. It meets the willingness. It produces freedom. But this freedom needs to be correctly deployed. The right word to use in the Bible, and you're going to see that in a few verses down the track, is to be led. To be led. So the instructor of the bull, the instructor of the arena, needs to be engaged to lead the way you're going to engage. Otherwise, it's going to cause trouble. Now, don't forget, it says in Galatians chapter number 1, that's where we started. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So when you see verse number 1, it gives you this freedom in Christ Jesus. And so, when the Judaizers are going to be discrediting what Paul was saying, they said, look, this guy has come with a strange gospel. He's saying, okay, you don't need the law, you don't need legalism, you don't need all of these things. He's asking you, he's just giving you a ticket to sin freely, basically. He's asking you, you can do anything, anyhow, anywhere, and without consequences. And Paul is saying, no, you're getting it wrong. What is it, when you say freedom, what is he talking about? Freedom from what? Simple. It's the freedom from the slavery mindset that you need to earn favor with God. That's the freedom that Paul has been talking about all this while. He's not talking about the freedom to do whatever you want to do without consequences. He's saying that there is a mindset that the world has, and this mindset is that you can earn favor, or in this instance, righteousness with God by the reason of what you do. And Paul is saying, no. That's not actually the freedom. That's the freedom that God has given you is so that you don't get enslaved in this mindset that you earn favor by the reason of what you do. You don't earn the favor of righteousness. God imputes it on you. We saw that. Right from the word go, we said this. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Never forget that all your life. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We went ahead to talk about the fact that God has imputed this righteousness upon us. It has nothing to do with what you do or what you don't do. It was imputed on you because you came to God through Christ. Okay? And he's now saying you have freedom. This freedom is freedom from the bondage of sin. This freedom is freedom from legalism. This freedom is the freedom from the slavery mentality that you need to earn your favor with God. You don't have to. However, it raises a fundamental question. So now that I am free, they misinterpreted it to mean free to sin. And it's not saying, no. It's not free to sin. There are two instances which I quickly want us to consider. Let's discuss the sin issue first, and then we're going to discuss the non-sin issue secondly, regarding the display and the demonstration of our freedom. The sin issue first. Now, so some people will say, well, since favor with God is not earned, it is imputed, then I can do anything I want. But the answer is no. Why? Because the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus is not the freedom to sin. It's the freedom from sin. It's not, we are not given the license, the ticket to begin to sin freely. It is actually a ticket to get out of the bondage of sin. Bible says it in Romans chapter in the book of Romans. Shall we then continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, certainly not. He's talking about this mentality that, okay, well, and it's crazy because that's some of the kind of strange gospel, unfortunately, that you hear in some quarters. You're washed, you're fine, you're free, you're okay in God, you can do anything you want. No! It's another gospel. By the way, the title of my message, before I go too far, it's Freedom Abuse. Freedom Abuse. It's just the abuse of the freedom that Jesus purchased with his blood. Now, think about this. How can we begin to say that we're given the license to do exactly the thing that Jesus actually came to shed his blood to get us away from? The reason why he came in the first instance is to get us away from sin. So how can we now begin to think that we have a liberty or the freedom that now makes us to be able, that gives us the license to do exactly the same thing that he left the throne of heaven to come and die as a man to get us away from? It does not just add up, okay? So this is the kind of freedom that people unfortunately talk about as, I gave my heart to Jesus 5 years ago. I'm saved in him. I did not achieve that by the works of my hand, and so I can do anything. You know, I can sleep with anyone I want. I can cheat anyone I want. I can lie as much as I want because my getting into God and my getting into heaven has nothing to do with whether I lie or I don't lie. As a matter of fact, when I lie, God doesn't care. When I don't lie, God doesn't care. So because I'm saved by grace through faith, praise God. That's not true. That's not true. It says that what it's saying in verse number 13 is, be careful. Well, you brethren have been called to liberty. You have been called to liberty. You have been called to freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Do not use it as an opportunity for the flesh. True love, serve one another. I will come to that word opportunity in a short while. So we have seen clearly that the issue of sin does not arise by the reason of your freedom. You're free from the bondage of sin. You're free from sin, not free to sin. Okay? So lie is still God dislikes lie before and after you got saved. God dislikes adultery before and after you've got saved. It's not like you come under a different set of rules or a different set of law, as it were, when you got saved. It's still the same. So you are saved from sin. You're not saved to sin. Okay, somebody says, okay, but Pastor, you mentioned it the other time that my righteousness in God, the favor that I have with God, has nothing to do with what I do or what I don't do. Do you still maintain that? Absolutely. So we talk about the non-sin issue. How do you then exercise your freedom in non-sin issues? What do I mean by that? Pastor, do you think that I get favor with God or my righteousness with God comes by the reason of me coming to church or not coming to church. No, you're free to come to church or not come to church. Your righteousness in Christ Jesus is not obtained because you came to church. It's not lost because you did not come to church. Okay, all right. Okay, I get that. Okay, Pastor, are you saying that whether I give to God in church or I don't give to God in church, it does not affect my righteousness with God? Absolutely, that's exactly what I'm saying. Your giving to God is not what guarantees your righteousness. Your not giving to God is not what makes you to lose your righteousness. It was imputed unto you. Why? Because you came to God through Christ Jesus. It was imputed. Okay? All right, fine. I'm getting this now. All right. So are you saying that I'm free to go to church or not to go to church on Sunday like this or during other gatherings? Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm saying. You're free to come. You're free not to come. Your freedom to come or not to come is only in your hands. You can choose to come or you can choose not to come. It has nothing, it will not affect your righteousness. That's exactly what he's saying. I hope you're following my track because I'm going to get you off in a short while, okay? All right, are you saying that, some people talk about this giving, this tithing, I'm free to do that or not to do that and it has nothing to do, it will not affect my righteousness and the favor I have with God. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. When you pay your tithe, it does not move your righteousness status a little bit up, in the presence of God. And they say, okay, your chair is supposed to be right in front like this because you've just paid your tithe. No. And because you missed paying your tithe last month, it doesn't mean that they are going to move your chair from the front seat to the back seat. It has nothing to do with that. Okay? All right. So in all of this, then, if it does not have anything to do with this, then why then do I have to do it? Now, this is exactly the question he's going to be answering in a short while. He's saying that, look, you're getting it wrong. You're getting it wrong because you don't understand that your freedom actually has an end result. The end result of the use of your freedom needs to culminate into something. What is it supposed to culminate into? Look at verse number 13. So the question we want to ask is, how do you know when your exercise of freedom is providing an opportunity for the flesh? Because that's what he says we should be careful not to do. He's saying you should be careful not to allow the exercise of your freedom to provide an opportunity for the flesh. Okay? Don't allow the exercise of your freedom, the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus, of whether you do it or you don't do it, don't let it provide an opportunity for the flesh. So how do you know that the exercise of your freedom now, right now, today, the 4th of August, is providing an opportunity for the flesh? That's what he's asking about. It says in verse number 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Two fundamental things have to accompany the demonstration or the display of your freedom for you to consider it as a healthy one and not an abuse of your freedom. Those two things are intertwined. They are two in one, as it were. The demonstration of your freedom the use of your freedom must demonstrate love. And the use of your freedom must provide service to another. When you operate your freedom, and your freedom cannot be said to impart love or provide service to another, you're just seeing somebody who is abusing his freedom in Christ. I will make it a bit simpler so that you understand, but I need you to get that. The use of your freedom, every time you say, "I am free to do whatever in Christ Jesus," if the use of that freedom does not culminate in the display of love and it does not culminate in the display of service to another, you are just part and parcel of those who are abusing their freedom in Christ. Okay, let's go to where we started from. Are you free to attend church or not? Church, answer me. Yes, good. Now, ask yourself this question. Attending church or not attending church, which of them demonstrates love and which of them give an opportunity to serve another. Answer, people of God. Now, think about this. Have you met somebody who said, look, I want to demonstrate love? Okay, let me ask another question. Are you free to give in church or not? You're free. You may choose to give $1 million if you've got one. You know, you may choose not to give as long as you don't take from what has been given in church. You're free. You know, it does not move your chair as far as righteousness is concerned because it's imputed on you by faith in Christ Jesus. So you're free to give your tithes and offerings. You're free not to give them. Okay. Now, but the question is this. Is it in giving that you demonstrate love to God and to others or in not giving? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he... So there's no way you can separate giving from loving. And whenever you separate the love component from the display of your freedom, you're just an abuser of your freedom. Okay? Now, the same way, loving another, giving, for instance, I love using the word giving because it pinches us so deeply, you know, it affects us directly. Now, giving or not giving, which one displays, provides an opportunity to serve another? Giving. You're not giving does not provide an opportunity to serve another. Now, later this afternoon, we're going to go to Boosbrook and we're going to be engaging with some people because we want to plant a life-giving church there. And I want to thank our church for, you know, for their generous gift over the several months and our continuous giving. Now, but that church, when it takes off, is going to be not because some people chose not to give, although they have the freedom not to give. It will only have happened because some people chose to give, even though they have the freedom not to have given. Are you following what I'm talking about? Their display of wisdom or freedom. Why am I talking about wisdom? Their display of freedom in Christ Jesus is culminating into a demonstrable love and service to another. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, you have been called to liberty, your freedom. Only do not use it as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love you serve one another. Through love you serve one another. Let me ask you the final question. I know this is now clear to us. To pray for your pastor or not to pray for your pastor, are you free to do it or not to do it? Free. You're free. You're free as long as you don't curse the pastor. You know, you're free to pray for the pastor. You're free not to pray for the pastor. Now, but can I ask you, praying for the pastor or not praying for the pastor, which one demonstrates love? Praying for the pastor. Which one is a provision, is providing service to the pastor and to the church at large? Praying, not the other one. So each time you choose the other one, even though you are free to do it, because it does not bring to the table the component of love and of service, is an abuse of your freedom. And Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, don't do it. Don't do it. So you see those two things. The first one is the issue of sin. There are clear sins, you know, that we've talked about. But this one is not about a sin. It's about what we do in order to demonstrate the love that we have for the one who saved us. So, and he says this. He says, do not use your liberty as an opportunity. You know, the word opportunity is actually, from the original Greek, is a military term. What it means is it's talking actually about a base of operation. It's talking about a base of operation. So what is he saying? He's saying that you have the liberty, you have the freedom. You can choose to do or not to do. But don't allow your flesh to use what you decide using your freedom. Don't allow the flesh to use it as a base of operation. So what they usually do is that the offending military, the offending nations, when they want to attack a particular place, they will get a military base in the territory. So they will get a military base in the territory so that their assault will be easier. For instance, if America wants to do something in the Middle East, maybe they want to fight with a particular nation, what they will do is that they will have a military base close to the Middle East. or somewhere in the Middle East, so that they will use that as a base of operation. That's where all the arsenal, all the bomb or whatever will first land, and then from there they get intelligence, and then they are able to attack. So he said exactly the same thing. Our opportunity, unfortunately, could be used as a base of operation for the flesh, such that sinful desires and sinful nature actually now use it as a base to begin to launch attack on our persons. Greed, for instance, may be the reason why some people have chosen not to give, but they are giving you the impression that I have the liberty to be generous or not to be generous. So that greed now forms and comes to the base of operation. That's the opportunity that he's talking about. In your heart, and it begins to infiltrate into every aspect of your life and of my life. Don't allow your freedom to be used as a base of operation for the flesh. And it says this, for verse number 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by another. So what is this talking about? The abuse of freedom, I read somewhere, the abuse of our freedom leads to bondage. I beg to differ, because that's not what the Bible says. Now, the ignorance of our freedom may lead to bondage. Okay? But when we abuse our freedom, it does not lead to bondage. What does it lead to? It leads to what the Bible talks about in verse number 15. It leads to making us to become biters and devourers. He says, but if you bite, what's he referring to? If you bite by the reason of your abuse of your freedom, if you devour one another by the reason of the abuse of your wisdom. So the abuse of our wisdom makes us is biters and devourers. We bite other people, we devour other people. We are turned into what you call spiritual cannibals, as it were. The abuse of our freedom takes away a major chunk of other people's life or the body of Christ. And Paul is saying here, don't do it. In conclusion, people of God, I want you to know that you are free in Christ Jesus. The slavery mentality has been overcome. But at every point that you demonstrate that freedom, always ask yourself this question. Is this demonstration of this freedom, does it bring about love? Does it show that I love God? Does it show I love people? Is this demonstration of this freedom, does it show that I'm ready to serve other people, or I'm just self-serving? If you are able to answer those questions, then you are not likely to fall into the trap of New Testament 21st century abusers of freedom. Shall we pray?